Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise God, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and go to verse 14. When you're there, just say amen. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand. And when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I've seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. The Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey and loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this word. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would forgive us, God. Forgive me of my sins, Lord, and speak through me, Lord. God, speak to every heart here and transform us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to preach a short message this morning titled, "Breaking Free from the Spirit of Oppression." The spirit of oppression. You know, maybe you've been battling with oppression. You say, what is oppression? Oppression happens. It almost comes as something that comes to press against you, to squeeze or to suffocate you. You know, you probably seen it. Maybe you were going on having a good relationship in your home and your marriage is going great, but all of a sudden something started to happen and steal your joy. And nighttime comes around and there's just no joy around the house anymore. Some people are smiling like, "Oh boy, here we go." Amen. You know, I remember a time I go to work and I walk through the doors. We were actually moving desks and I got a desk. You know, the desk was assigned to me, you know, your own space, right? And now I get there. It's Monday morning. I'm getting ready to go to my desk and somebody's sitting in it. I'm like, "Oh man." So you know what? I didn't even move. I said, "Hey, how you doing, man?" He said, "Hey, how you doing?" He was still sitting down. I say, I think that's my desk. And he said, "Oh, it is?" And he still sat there. And somebody came by and they're like, "Oh no, but we moved you. You're down there now." Man, you know, I was like, "You moved my stuff? You just came, you know, it was something so small." So small. But, you know, I walked out and I was so heated, man. I felt so low. You know, that devil began to talk to me. He began to tell me how insignificant I was. How, you know what, you're a nobody. We can just move you around. I was so down. And that devil was having a field day. Trying to steal my joy. You know, maybe today this is you're in a position like that. Whatever the situation is, I have good news for you, because Jesus came to set the oppressed free. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery to sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." You know, there are people who are walking in oppression today and so drowned and so the joy is so squeezed they don't even believe God for miracles anymore. In a tight place where they say, "You know what, I just stopped believing because there's just been so much that's robbing them of their joy." I believe God is going to minister to you this morning. You know, as you read this, as we read our text, you're probably wondering, well, I don't understand. How is it that the tormenting spirit, the Bible says, came from God? Was God really the one sitting oppressing Saul? Don't tell me you didn't read that and didn't think that. I read that. I said, oh, Lord, you got to help me here. Amen. So, God, are you oppressing people? No. You know, as you begin to read this, you realize this is the same as saying that God took people and sent them to hell. You know, God isn't sitting there saying, well, let's go ahead and send somebody to hell. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we will live free. God's plan is we'll walk with joy. Amen. God's plan is that we'll have life. Praise God. But sometimes it just so happens that there are doors that we open up. There are doors that we open up. And I'm going to tell you, I've opened up a lot of doors. I wish I never did. Say amen. Amen. You know, sometimes there's certain doors that we open up, and out of that door comes a little something, a little attack that comes along with it. You know, Proverbs 26 and verse 2, it says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. You know, whenever we open certain doors in our lives, certain doors, y'all know what I'm talking about. We begin to open certain doors in our lives. The things that come through those doors, and sometimes we don't want them. And I remember a time when my wife and I mean, before I go there, I'll tell you what, and the devil, you know, the devil's always watching, right? Devil's always watching. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I remember a time my wife and I, we were in a city called Bagamoyo. This is in Tanzania. And Bagamoyo is a historic town. It stands for the drop of the heart. It is whenever they took slaves and they brought them out of the mainland and they brought them to the coast. This was the last point before they got shipped off. So we went and we started doing a tour and we're looking around Bagamoyo. But something happened while we're in Bagamoyo. We had to pay a fee to walk through. So I speak Swahili. They said, hey, there's a fee that you pay if you're from here, and there's a fee you pay if you're not from here. I said, well, you know, Ashley, don't say a word. We're going to make it. Don't say a word. You just keep quiet. We're going to walk right on through. I'll speak some Swahili. I'll tell him she looks black just like anybody else. We'll be okay. But what a lot of people also don't know about Bagamoyo is like witchcraft capital. Bagamoyo is witchcraft capital. People leave. People go from countries, politicians, whoever. This is where they go to stir up their power. This is the place where all witchcraft happens. So we're up here, and I'm thinking, you know, I can get through this. I'm gonna be smart, right? I'm trying to play the game. So we get through. I pay whatever fee, and the guy, he just looks at me. He says, "Hey, you know, this is the foreigner fee." I said, "Yeah, but you know, don't worry about that." I tell Ashley, we got this. So we begin to walk through, right? We're walking through. We take the tour. We come back out. We get in the car, and I turn the key. Nothing. I said, Lord, what have I did here? What have I done to myself here? You know what? We're in the middle of the boondocks. Evening is coming. We know this is witchcraft capital, and what I have done is I've tried to play the game. I said, oh, Lord. I said, God, you got to forgive me here. I'm going to make this right. I took the money, went to the guy. I said, listen, that's what I owe you. I'm out of here. Amen. I gave the guy his money. I got back in the car. Nothing still. Amen. I opened the hood, and I began to look, and I found a little wire, and I connected. I was like, you know, let me tell you something. What's right always comes out right. Amen. I'm in this place, and the Bible will tell you an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. You know what? If I was undeserving or whatever that is, I walk in dominion. I walk in dominion. I said, devil, you're a liar. You ain't got nothing on me. Amen. But while I'm there, if I begin to cheat my way through, the devil say, hey, no problem. Go ahead. Go ahead. You got this. But I got to tell you, this is in the same way. In the same way, we may open doors for oppression sometimes. And this is what happened to Saul. You know, I believe one of the things that comes out of it is living in disobedience will open doors to oppression. Spiritual oppression. Living in disobedience. God has spoken to you. Hey, you know what? I want you to keep your eyes open for the... watch out for that. Watch out for that. Maybe you're married, and in your marriage, God is speaking to you. Say, hey, you know what? This is just for you and your wife. Uh-oh. I'm not going there. Amen. Amen. Hey, this is a door you need to keep closed. This is a door you need to keep closed. Amen. In your relationships, at your job, in our tithing. Uh-oh. I shouldn't talk about that one. Amen. God is saying, hey, you know what? There are doors. There's living in obedience. And what happens as we live in obedience, we get the blessings of God. But in the moment that we begin to open doors of disobedience, let me tell you something. Galatians 5:1, it says, stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, we're in here, we're in church. Praise and worship was incredible. God healed people. While we're in here, it's great. But you know, when we walk out of here, the devil is still real. The devil is still real. When we walk out of here, we got to remember, you know what? I want to live free. It's easy to be free in church. It's easy to be free in church. Man, there's a great feeling in here. It feels good in church. Amen. But when we get out of here, God is saying, hey, you know, you want to walk free. Learn to live in obedience. Learn to live in obedience. You know, make a decision tonight, this morning. If God is speaking to you, dealing with you on something, don't leave this place not having made right what God is speaking to you on. Amen? Number two, what you'll find, though, is it's not always that, hey, you've gone out and lived in disobedience, but sometimes there's just an attack upon your life. And that also happens, amen? And sometimes it will come, it's happened to me several times, is I begin to just grow dissatisfied about something in my life. I just begin to get upset about something. You know, I was looking at, it's funny, this is really silly, but I'll give you the example. I was looking at my job, I'm looking online, and they say, hey, you know what, you can, you know, this is what you should be getting paid. I go to my boss and say, hey, we got to work something out here. You ain't paying me like you should be. We got to work something out here. And he said, well, we're working on that. I said, oh, man, here we go, trying to hold me down. Hey, but you know what? I found myself picking on a little attitude. I found myself picking on a little attitude, coming in dissatisfied, walking in. I'm down like this. You know, that devil was just lying to me. That devil was just sitting there. He was lying to me. You know, many people, you're probably getting home for marriages. You're probably getting home the moment y'all walk in the door, finding something wrong with each other. Oh, you know what? You're leaving your shoes over here. I can't stand you. I can't stand you. Why don't you take your socks into the laundry? Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, man. But you know what you'll find is the devil is always looking for ways to attack. And when we give him room to begin to speak to us, before you know it, we'll be walking like this. Sad. Day in and day out, we're walking. People are walking in oppression, been set free by Jesus, but walking in oppression. I want to tell you something. God didn't call us to live like that. God didn't call us to live like that. I want to share with you two more things this morning. Is we need to learn to be thankful. Learn to be thankful. You know, I kept at my job. I got to a place. I said, you know what, God? Actually, I was doing my taxes. And I looked. Now it was saying, you know, I was doing my taxes. And I said, Lord, I made a lot of money last year. What was going on here? I was really giving room to the devil, and the devil was really taking advantage of it. But you know what? We were doing okay. We were doing okay. You know, if we begin to be thankful to God for the blessings that he has provided in our lives, it will completely change our attitudes. It will change our attitudes. Amen. Praise God. You know, Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. My wife and I, we started doing something. You know, we've been there. How many been there? Amen. We've been there. We done throw some bows. Amen. We're newlyweds almost 10 years in, amen? Praise God. We're still trying to figure it out, amen? But one thing we started doing is we said, you know, we need to be more thankful for one another. So in the mornings, I can't say we do it every day, but in the mornings, we'll write a sticky note. Before I leave, I'll write a sticky note on the mirror to say, hey, you know, I'm thankful for this. And, you know, I'll come home. Before I know, I'll come home some days. And, you know, some days she'll beat me waking up. And I one day I woke up and I looked at that mirror and it was full. That mirror was full of 50 sticky notes, right? And she was saying, you know, I want you to know I'm thankful for you. Praise God. You know, it will make a difference. It will make a difference in your marriage. Amen. It will make a difference if we're thankful to God for what he's done in this church. In this church. You know, I'm thankful for my pastors. I'm thankful for my pastor. You know, I'm gonna go out and tell you, I'm not always happy about correction I get from my pastor. Sorry, pastor. I'm not always happy about it. I'm not always happy about it, but you know, I think back about it and I say, Lord, my life was a mess before I came here. My life was a mess before you made it possible for me to be here. And now that I'm here, God, thank you for what you're doing in my life. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Because we might walk up and say, I don't want to have these small groups. And Pastor asked me to say this. Amen. I'm just preaching. Amen. I got the mic. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? Let's be thankful for what God is doing in this church. This church is going somewhere. Amen. There's revival happening here. Praise God. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. I'm thankful. And number three, I want to share with you before we pray. Number three is learn to praise and worship God. You know, the Bible says that David will come and he'll begin to play. And the distressing spirit that was on Saul would leave. And he was refreshed. You know, one thing I know that was a signature growing up. When I see Christians, the signature for a believer is when I see him alone, they'll be worshiping. When I see him alone, they'll be out there praising. I said, man, they always say, what you so happy about? I said, man, you don't know. You don't know what God has done in my life. Amen. I'm not going to walk around sad. I'm going to walk in praising God. Amen. Praise God. You know, when we begin to praise God, what happens is everything changes. We begin to see things differently. What used to be dark, that dark cloud, we said, no, devil, not today. Praise God. I was driving to work just Monday. I'm driving and I'm crossing the light. I'm going straight. I'm crossing the light. I got a green light. And halfway, I'm almost passing the light. And a Coca-Cola truck, man, it just comes. And you know, I could have honked. I could have said a few words. Amen. I said, not today, devil, not today. Hallelujah, not today. You ain't ruined my day, amen. Oh, I went to work full of joy. Oh, I'm praising God. Praise God, you were with me. You didn't let the devil touch me, amen. Nothing came on me. The car was unharmed, hallelujah. And this body is good, amen. Praise God. You know, we may say those are small things, but you know, God was there with me. I went to work and we sat in a meeting. And before we started meeting, I said, hold on, I got to tell y'all a story. That was a perfect opportunity, praise God. I said, I got to tell y'all a story, what God did for me today. You know what? It's okay. Although they don't like us preaching at work, it's okay because he did it for me. Amen. I wasn't trying to convert them. I'll just tell them what happened to me today. Amen. But you know what? The meeting, everybody was like, wow, that's so incredible. Praise God. You know, keep a song in your spirit. Keep a song in your spirit. The Bible says when Paul and Silas were in jail, what were they doing? They were singing praises to God. You know, whatever's going on, get a song in your spirit. You know, sometimes you can get in and you feel oppressed, or maybe you're battling with some thoughts. You know, start singing, he set me free, yes, he set me free. That's all right. Praise God. Keep a song in your spirit and you will notice your perspective will change and you'll have victory where you are. Amen. Praise God. I want us to pray. I want us to pray this morning specifically for people who've been battling with oppression. Battling with oppression. Maybe the devil's been suffocating your marriage, suffocating just your joy. Your joy, you just feel like, man, I've been losing my joy. I've been going in, and it's almost like I'm at church. It's all bright in here, but the second I walk out and just, there's a dark cloud over my life. I want to tell you something. God's going to set you free this morning. Amen. If I get the musicians, we're gonna pray this morning. I want to ask, just bow your heads just for a moment. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. I want to ask this morning, how many in this place you're here today and you said, you know, in my marriage, in my relationships, in my ministry, I've been walking and I've just been, it's almost been like this has been a cloud over me. It's just been a dark cloud. I've just been feeling oppressed. I just don't have the joy that I used to have. Maybe today you'll say, maybe today God was speaking to you about disobedience. Or maybe you say, you know, I'm not battling with that, but today I've just been getting attacked left and right. I just need God to do something in my life. I want to pray for you. How many say, you know, that's me. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand and put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. I see those hands everywhere. God bless you. We're going to pray this morning. I ask one more question this morning. How many in this place, you're here today, and you say, I'm not saved. I've heard of Jesus. I've heard what Jesus did on the cross, that we would have life. But I've been doing this on my own. And today I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to ask Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm tired of living life the way I've been living it. Now I'm surrendering it to God, that He would give me a new life. I want to pray for you this morning. How many say, that's me? Would you remember me in prayer? Just slide your hand up, put it back down. Don't be afraid this morning. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you for that hand, brother. How many more? They say, I want to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Praise God. How many more? He said, I'm sick and tired of living life the way that I've been living. I've tried it alone. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. He said, today, I'm surrendering it all to Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. No more oppression in my life. I'm not doing this alone anymore. Why don't we stand? And I want to ask you to take a bold step. First, I want to ask, if you raise your hand and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I saw many hands go up. It may be scary to walk down some aisles, but I tell you, it's good, because God wants to meet you today. God wants to do something in your life. Do you raise your hand for salvation? You say, I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to pray for you. Would you make your way through these aisles and just come forward? Amen. Come on, don't be afraid. Come on down. Oh, let's give God praise as brother comes down. Amen. Come on, I saw many more hands. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. More coming. Praise God. Amen. Don't be afraid. Come on down. Make your way. Make your way. Make your way. Let God do something in your life. Don't let this day be like another day. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask you a second thing I asked you. You raise your hand and you say, I've been battling with oppression. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you say, I've been in that moment where I've just been battling with this heaviness, just a dark cloud. It's just been squeezing every ounce of joy that I have. And I know that joy that I used to have, but it's just been getting squeezed day in and day out. I want us to pray for you this morning. Why don't you just make your way? Come down forward. Amen. We're going to pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to talk to God. I'm going to ask leaders and come help us pray. Amen. Ushers, we're going to pray this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And what?